Praise the Lord. We're going to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse number 19. Mark, chapter 9, verse number 19. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And I take my text from these four words. Bring him unto me. Everybody say, bring him unto me. You see possibility there? Amen. I see possibility in those four words. Bring him unto me. Amen. I want to preach on the subject today, things we bring to Jesus. Things we bring to Jesus. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated today. It started when he was a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. The Bible said of the wise men that they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I saw something very interesting in that this morning. I don't suppose I've ever really thought of today. And that is this. When they gave him gold, God was saying, I'm not obligated to anybody. This is my son and I'm going to take care of him. He was born into a poor home, a carpenter's home. He said, but I'm not going to be beholden to Joseph or to Mary. So he gave him gold before he ever started. He said, I want you to know this is my son and I'm paying his way. Amen. God is not obligated to any human being. God always pays his way. And by the way, he paid yours too. Amen. And so God is not beholden to humanity. He gave him gold, the gift of a king. He gave him frankincense, the gift of a priest. And he gave him myrrh. And that was for his burial. And so even at his birth, we foresee his life and we foresee the death that he should die. So people brought him gifts even in the beginning. We saw here today that a father brought his son to Jesus. Here's a man that is frantic. Here's a man that is at his limit. He has expended all of his options. He's tried everything that he knows to help his son, and still he is no better. He describes his son's condition here. He said that spirits come upon him, and he falls down, and he foams at the mouth, and he writhes like a serpent, and if he's close to water, He'll throw himself in the water. If he's close to a fire, he throws himself into the fire. And these spirits are trying to destroy him. And anybody that has a situation like that in life, your heart would go out to a father, that constant vigilance. They could never leave the boy alone, but somebody had to be with him at all times. And Jesus said to this father, he said, bring him to me. Now it's interesting, verse 20 said, and they, whoever they is, brought him unto him. I don't know who the they is. I don't know if that's the father and the mother and the family or some caretaker. I don't know who they is. But I do know that they brought him to Jesus. And the Bible said that when he saw Jesus, he fell down on the ground and he wallowed and he was foaming. And the Bible said the spirits were trying to destroy him. And the Father, seeing again the same old thing, he says to Jesus, one of the most honest statements I think that I've ever heard. And he said, if you can, everybody say, if you can. If you can do anything, he said, have compassion and help us. I have good news for you today. He can. Somebody said it well. They said Jesus is the answer. What's the question? He's first. Amen. He was the answer. And He is the answer. And He had an answer before you ever had a problem. Amen. He can today. Don't you ever doubt that He can. He said, if you can do something, please do something. And then Jesus asked him simply for the coin of faith. That's all God asks of you. He just wants faith. He wants you to believe that He's going to do something. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said something very beautiful. He said, Lord, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. I like that. I'm so glad there's people like that in the Bible. He's not one of those blab it and grab it preachers. Amen. He's not all into just positive thinking. Amen. He's not into all that. He's honest. He's real. He's genuine. He's like you and me. He's living real life. He said, God, I have some faith, but I also have some doubt. Amen. I'm asking you to help me with that part. I don't need help with my faith. That's good. What I need help with today is my unbelief. I need you to reach down to that part of me that has doubts and fears and touch that so I can have full faith in you. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Anybody ever had a doubt? Anybody ever had a fear? Anybody ever had unbelief? Then you know what we're talking about today. And if you don't, you're lying to yourself. Amen. I was going through a hard time, real hard time. And everybody I talked to, you'd say, how are you doing, brother? Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. I got so sick of that word. Surely, Brother Martin, there was somebody that was having a bad time. Surely. Surely not the whole world was fantastic. Surely there was another human being among them. Amen. I'm glad for this guy. He was not fantastic. Amen. But this man said, I got needs in my life. I got a son that needs help, and I want him to be helped. And I've gone to everybody I can go to. I've sought help everywhere I can go. But if you can help me, please, won't you do something? Amen. And the Bible said that then that Jesus, he just spoke to that spirit. Rebuked him, said, come out of him, deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, enter him no more. And the young man became still as death. The people began to say, he's dead. Jesus reached down, picked him up by the hand, lifted him to his feet. Amen. I'm just saying to you today a very simple thought. You can bring it to Jesus. It was embarrassing. You know, some of our needs in our lives are embarrassing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Things that embarrass you, you can still bring it to Jesus. This man was so desperate that he came out of a multitude of people and openly confessed before everybody, I've got a desperate need. I've got a desperate need. And he brought it to Jesus, and he helped it. I wish everybody had friends like these. In the book of Luke, the Bible said that Jesus was teaching in a certain place on a certain day. The 17th verse says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And here's an interesting statement. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I find that particularly interesting when we're talking about the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. Because if you had asked them, they didn't need any healing. They were already whole. As a matter of fact, they would quickly tell you they were better than everybody else. But Jesus said, my presence is here to heal them. Amen. If I got any Pharisees here today, let me tell you something. You need some healing. Even if you're a doctor of the law, you still need healing. You still got some needs in your life. And the presence of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen. And the Bible said that some men brought a friend. And they couldn't get into Jesus. The house was full and overflowing. And so they went up on the roof and they removed some tiles. And they let him down to where Jesus was. Now, wouldn't that have been an interesting thing? right in the middle of the sermon this morning, I would to God that it was as full in here as it was there. Amen. And if we can get enough Jesus in here, it will be. I said, if we can get enough Jesus in here, it will be. Say it one more time. I'm not getting everybody. If we can get enough Jesus in here, it will be. Amen. And so they went up on the roof and they took the tiles off and you can imagine right in the middle of Jesus' sermon, all of a sudden, you know, stuff started falling on people's head and they look around. He lost his audience. Every eye was fastened on the ceiling. Y'all looking up yet? Every eye was on the ceiling and all of a sudden, some faces looked up. And then they saw this bed on some ropes coming down. Huh. What a strange way to have church. And they lowered him down there. And by now, everybody's attention's fastened on that. You can imagine. You talk about getting people's attention. He had their attention. And so here he is. He's down there on the bed. And Jesus walks over to this man. And I love this phrase, 20th verse. It said, and when he saw their faith. Isn't that beautiful? When he saw their faith. Jesus is so good, he can see faith. Faith is intangible. How can you see it? But Jesus saw it. You know how he saw their faith? In their actions. Amen. In their obedience. Here they are. They're letting their faith down on a rope. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to this man, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now that was a strange thing to say to a lame man, wasn't it? You know why he said that? Because of who else was sitting there. Generally, he would do like he did with the other man. He'd rebuke the spirit or he'd tell him to be healed. But this time he said, your sins are forgiven you. Because of the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. He was not only seeking to heal this man, he was seeking to heal them. He didn't just want to make the lame man whole, he wanted to cure the Pharisees and the doctors as well. And so then he says, or they said, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now you're getting there. You got the point, right? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell you, boys, is I'm here. Hallelujah. The Messiah is in your midst. God manifest in flesh is standing before you right now. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to save you. Amen. He let them know who he was. Jesus perceived their thoughts. And he said, why reason you in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, all of a sudden the guy just got up, started walking, took up his bed, come down through the ceiling, walked out through the door. Oh, I guess he could have climbed the rope back through the ceiling. I don't know how he got out, really, but anyway. However he got out, he got out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said he rose up, took up his bed, departed his own way, glorifying God. Now listen, and they were all, everybody say, all amazed. And they glorified God, and here's a peculiar phrase, and were filled with fear. You know, being in the midst of that kind of a miracle brings with it an awesomeness that's akin to fear. That phrase is often repeated in the Bible associated with miracles. We want miracles. Oh, God, give us miracles. Give us. But there comes a fear and awe, a reverence with that kind of power demonstrated. And so there was. They were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. That's what they said. Woo, this is some strange stuff here, buddy. Yeah, we don't know about this. Amen. But I find it very interesting that they brought their friend to Jesus and he healed them. They brought their unbelief and their pride and their stuffiness and all of their answers, and he wanted to heal them too. So everything that you can bring to Jesus, he can make it better. You got a friend that needs the Lord? Bring him to Jesus. Anybody got a friend that needs the Lord? Let's get them here. Get them to Jesus. Amen. He'll make the difference if we can just get them here. The Bible said they brought the sick and he healed them. They brought the demon possessed and he healed them. One place says that they brought their children. There's no better place to bring your children than to Jesus. Oh, there were people that said, no, don't bother him with these little rugrats. But Jesus said, no, you got this all wrong. He said, don't you forbid these little kids to come to me. Amen. If you get too high and mighty for children, you're too high and mighty. The Bible said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Except you become as a little child, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. There are things we can learn from our children. Amen. There are things our children desperately need to learn from us. But we need to get some of their characteristics as well. So bring your children to Jesus. Bring your children to Jesus. I read a disconcerting article some time ago about a guy. He was called Bill, what's his name? The science guy, somebody. Yeah, Nye, that was his name. Anyway, he made a statement. He said that we should not teach our children about creation. So if we don't teach our children about creation, what should we teach them? Well, what I believe, of course. But what makes what you believe better than what I believe? But I'm the daddy. And my child is my responsibility. So pardon me, Mr. Nye, but I'm going to teach him creation. Now, you can do what you want to with your kid, but I'm bringing mine to Jesus. Amen. My little mama brought me to Jesus, even when I didn't want to go. And she kept bringing me, even when I didn't want to go. But it finally took. It took 15 years, but it finally took. And it's been good now for plus 45 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't have any regrets. Amen. Somebody brought me to Jesus. And I'm so glad that they did. Amen, amen, amen. And so bring your children to the Lord. Luke chapter 7 verse 37 tells us about a woman that brought some things to Jesus. The Bible clearly declares this woman to be a sinner. And it says that she came to Jesus. Now, you remember when people in Bible times, they didn't eat at a table like we eat at a table. You know, we sit down in a chair. But in Bible times, a table was kind of like this altar here. And people didn't, they would get pillows and they would recline on the pillows lying down with their feet extended. And that sounds pretty good to me. You don't have to go far to take a nap. Just roll over and get with it. But anyway, I don't know if that was the purpose. It just sounded good. And so they're reclining there, and this, the Bible said, and they were in a courtyard. People could see them. That was the whole purpose. This man Simon invited Jesus to his house and ate out in the courtyard because he wanted everybody to see who he had at his house. I've got Jesus here at my house. Good for me. Don't you wish you had Jesus at your house? I do. I wish every house had Jesus. But here he is, and it's his showpiece for the day. And celebrity of the week. And this woman's walking by, and she sees Jesus. But she doesn't see a celebrity. She sees a Savior. And she comes in. The Bible said she goes up and she washes his feet with her tears. Now, I mean, she was crying, but I think even more. In Bible times, people actually had what they called tear bottles. And they would literally, and they would save them. And they would be buried with them. All of the tears of a lifetime, they'd save all of those tears because tears were precious to them. And I don't know but what she brought her tear bottle to. Amen. If you've got a tear bottle today, let me tell you what to do with it. Do what she did. Just pour it at the feet of the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and get rid of them. You don't need to bottle them up anymore. Just pour it all on the feet of the Lord. And then she took the hairs of her head and she wiped his feet. And then the Bible said she took an alabaster box of ointment, which was very, 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 very costly. And she broke that. And she anointed his feet with it. And the fragrance filled the courtyard and drifted out into the street. Amen. It was her offering of worship and her praise and her love for the Lord. Amen. Bring your tears to Jesus. Bring your sins to Jesus. Bring your fears to Jesus. But bring your worship to Jesus. And then in John 8, the Bible said the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. What a thing to bring to Jesus. But they brought this woman, and they said she was taken in adultery. The very act begs the question, doesn't it? Where's her husband? Or where's the man? Where's her partner? Why was he not taken? Why was he not brought? Just the woman. You cannot commit adultery by yourself. Just the woman. But the woman was brought, thrown at his feet like some piece of human debris. You could have heard a pin drop. Suddenly, the pride and the arrogance, so thick you could cut it with a knife. And they say, she's taken in adultery, the very act. Moses and the law say, stone her. What do you say? You know what he said? Nothing. The only time in the scripture we read that Jesus wrote something. And he just kneeled down. And he started writing in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but they did. Wouldn't it be interesting to know what he wrote in the sand? I don't know. I speculate sometimes. I wonder if he wrote a time or a date or a street, an address, person's name. But whatever it was he wrote, every one of them that saw that, when he said, "Let he that sin cast the first stone," beginning with the eldest, he dropped his rock and he walked away, all the way down to the youngest. You could have heard it. Thump, thump, as stones started hitting the ground. Thump, 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 till there was a pile of rocks and no accuser. Amen. And then he turns to the woman. He said, "Woman, where are thine accusers? No man doth accuse me, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Amen. I'm telling you today, you can bring anything to Jesus. You can bring your sin. Brother Grissom, why would I want to bring sin? What else are you going to do with it? What else are you going to do with it? He's the only one that can do anything good with sin. You don't want to drag them to the judgment. Bring them to Jesus and leave them there. Bring them to Jesus and leave them there. Amen. You can bring it to the Lord today. Whatever it is, the most shameful, disappointing, heartrending, heartbreaking thing in your life, you can bring it to Jesus. Your tears, bring them to Jesus. And your fears and your doubts and your hurts, bring it to Jesus. Let's stand together today. You can bring your lost family members. You can bring your lost friends. You can bring it all to Jesus today. Just bring it to Him. Hallelujah. Bring it to Him. He said, "Bring him unto me." What the disciples couldn't do anything about, He said, "Just bring it to me." What the doctors couldn't do anything about, He said, just bring him to me. Just bring him to me. Hallelujah. You know what you can do with the greatest needs of your life? You know what I'd do today, what I recommend? Just bring it to the Lord. Lay it on the altar. Amen. Brother Grissom, I'm struggling today with some things. I don't know what to do. I do. You do too. Bring it to the Lord. Really, genuinely, truly, and fully, bring it to the Lord. Anybody got something you need to bring to Jesus today? Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's gold. Maybe it's frankincense. Maybe it's myrrh. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a habit. Whatever it is, just go ahead and bring it to Jesus today. Amen. Just bring it to the Lord. I think there's some people that need to be at this altar this morning. You got some things you're dealing with, and they're too big for you. You know it. They've robbed you of your joy and your peace. Well, just bring it to Jesus today. You've told others to do it. Now it's your turn. Bring it to Jesus. Lay it at His feet. Fully and completely trust Him. Oh, yes. Why don't you do that right now? Amen. I don't know what else to do, but you do, Jesus. I've done everything I know. So I'm going to bring it to you.